And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm your co-host, Dave Slade.
Who's a cradle? I'm Mark Barthelemy, the convert.
Hey, Mark, how was your Thanksgiving?
Hey, buddy, terrific. All the family, the kids, the grandkids were there. It was a blast.
Yeah, I went out to my mom and dad's and my sister and brother-in-law. The kids were there. My uncle, it's special.
Yes, it is.
And I try to remind my kids every year how special it is because the whole family, the whole nuclear family is still
together.
Exactly,
exactly.
How about Black Friday? Did you survive Black Friday?
Are you kidding? I barricaded myself and my wife in the house, so no one got to leave. It was a success as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing on my visa from Black Friday.
Well, I did a little bit of shopping, and then I did some small business Saturday down on Merchant Street.
Oh, did you?
Fun. And then Cyber Monday, I bought just a couple things that I saw good deals on for Christmas presents.
Well, good.
So it was great.
And then, of course, you'll be selling those to me at a discounted rate. That's the whole purpose of you getting them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To scam me as you do each year.
There's just a little carrying charge.
Oh, okay.
But also in the middle of the Thanksgiving weekend and Black Friday and all that, we began celebrating a new liturgical year.
Yes, indeed.
Year C.
Yep.
And we also observed the first Sunday in Advent, the season of preparation and reflection on the great mystery of the incarnation of the Lord.
Yes, indeed.
Did you guys do anything special at church?
Well, we have had this for the last 8 weeks prior to this weekend. We did a biblical walk with Mary. And it was one of the best programs that I think Sister Janet File, who's our pastoral
nun. Assistant.
Yeah, pastoral assistant. Thank you. She actually put that on and organized it. A good friend of mine, Diane Keller, actually was our particular small group mentor and guider, and it was just fabulous. I mean, it really put a lot of meaning into the Old Testament, which was predicting the coming of the Messiah,
right,
and how Mary fulfilled that role in so many of the different mysteries that we pray in the joyful mysteries, and it just was really meaningful.
Well, good, and I'm glad to report that Father John Burnett had a little surgery last week, and we had a visiting priest.
How's he doing?
Father Tom Donovan was in, and we lit the Advent candle. Father John's doing really well. He's
good.
Back on his feet doing his visits, celebrating Mass, and it's all good.
Good, because I still want to talk to him about the military chaplaincy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of preparation, Mark, did you know that there are 23 seminarians in the Diocese of Springfield in various seminaries throughout the region?
I do. I saw it in the Catholic Times, of course, a couple of different times it's been in there. But in addition, we have a huge poster in the lobby, the vestibule of Holy Family, which shows a picture of each one and what seminary they're in. And, of course, our favorite, of course, is Deacon Braden Mayer, which we had on the show very early in this, who is a transitional deacon at this point and finishing up his studies to be ordained in May. So we're real proud of him. He spends a lot of time with us when he can.
Well, good. You know, so that brings me to our guest in the studio this evening.
Yes, indeed.
We have the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Springfield, Father Ryan Alford. And Father, welcome to the show, and
Absolutely.
We're excited to hear all the good news that's going on in the Office of Vocations.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and as you alluded to, Happy New Year to all of you. It sounds a little strange whenever I say that to people. They say, what? It's our happy liturgical New
Year. The Year of Mercy is right around the corner.
That's right.
A few days away.
So, Father, what can you tell us about the Office of Vocations that you're the head man of over there in Springfield?
Yeah, the work of vocations is really trying to facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of young men and to some extent young women as well. But our main focus is young men that are interested and studying for the priesthood. In many ways, there are a lot of other people that are involved unofficially in the work of vocations. Whenever it comes to me, as far as the director of the Office for Vocations, I handle a lot of the administrative things such as applications and paying for different fees and expenses for our seminarians, but a lot of the work that's done in vocations is done in the parishes by our priests, by the lay faithful, by religious throughout the diocese, and kind of it all falls underneath my office as far as kind of coordinating some of those things and kind of being that that official connection with the diocese as especially young men discern that the Lord might be calling them to a life of ministry in the church.
Well, are we experiencing a renewal in vocations?
I think so. You know, one of the things that the bishop is very proud of noting is that whenever he came here 5 years ago as the bishop, we had just 11 seminarians. At that point, I was a deacon in the seminary, and I remember, you know, there were 11 of us, and now we're double that, you know, just over double that with 23 seminarians. So I think we are seeing kind of a resurgence, and it's more than just numbers. What I see is a real openness among young people in our diocese that whenever you talk about vocations, whenever you bring up the possibility, they're open to it, and they're honest about, yeah, I've thought about it, or I'm praying about it, or thinking about it, and see it as a possibility. So I think it's just a whole culture that's building up in our diocese that the vocations are seen as something, you know, not just for somebody else, but that it's something that possibly I could be called to as well.
Well, Father, how does somebody know if they're being called by God to a vocation?
Well, that's kind of the magic question. You know, how do we know? And oftentimes when I speak with young people, there's different things that we can do to help to understand, is this coming from God or not? First and foremost, I think we bring it to prayer and that we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is this what you are calling me to do? And if it's something that they feel they're called to maybe the priesthood or religious life, there's a real sense of peace that kind of comes. You know, they may put that idea off for a while, but it keeps kind of coming back. You know, it keeps leaving them with a sense of peace and joy and fulfillment in that the Lord might be calling them to that. So, you know, it's an experience that they have in that prayer, but it's also confirmed by so many other things, like people coming up to them and saying, have you ever thought about the priesthood? Have you ever thought about religious life? Or even, you know, just different things that come up whenever the priest preaches about it or the deacon preaches about it on Sunday, and something just strikes the young person and says, you know what, that really sits well with my heart. So it's a lot of things that all kind of come together, and that's where, you know, as a vocation director and as a priest, we kind of try to piece some of those pieces together, put them together, and to say, you know, this really seems like the Lord might be calling you to this.
Well, Father, I'm a little curious. What do you think has brought about this interest in the young? Because we're constantly reading about declining mass attendance and inability of the church, or perceived inability of the church, let me make that clear, to keep the young interested. And they drift away when they go to college. They don't attend mass like they used to, and the parents are frustrated and so on and so forth. What has happened that makes these young people suddenly consider religious life and entering the priesthood or religious life?
Sure. I think one thing is, you know, with things that happen in our society, and there's a lot of reasons to maybe be disappointed or skeptical, you know, I think young people are not blind to that. I think they see that the things that the world promises don't actually bring the fulfillment that they do promise. Because sometimes I think these young people have tried to grasp onto those things and have found them wanting, and they want something more. And I think they recognize on that deepest level that there is something beyond just what this world offers, and their upbringing and their faith and other experiences kind of says maybe there's something here to that. And so I think it first begins with them trying to find, you know, some meaning to life in their faith, in that God can give the answer to those difficult questions, can help to answer the questions, and can bring that fulfillment to their life in a way that the things of this world can't. So I think it starts there, and then whenever they have that great experience of that peace and joy that comes from being in that relationship with Christ and His church, there's a real desire to want to give back in some way, and that's where that discernment starts happening. Say, how can I do that? What's the way that I can do that? Maybe I can do that in my ordinary life, in my work that I do by going to work and spreading my faith and living my faith. Maybe it's in my family that I'm already in, but maybe it's something maybe a little more radical. Like it's something maybe a little more radical, like giving my life, I mean, everything that I have to this religious vocation in which, you know, I invite others to experience the fulfillment and the joy of having that relationship with Christ and His church.
So if somebody feels that they have a calling to become a priest, they contact your office and they discuss with you about how long it takes to become a priest, how do I pay for all of that. How long does it take to go through seminary?
It varies based on the person's educational background. If somebody is in high school or just finishing high school, the duration is about 8 years. So basically seminary is broken up into two main categories. There's college seminary, what we sometimes call the minor seminary, and then theology, which is called the major seminary. The minor seminary, they work towards a bachelor's degree with an emphasis in philosophy. Philosophy is the basic foundation on which to build for the study of theology. So much of our theology depends on some of that philosophy. But what we also find is young men maybe that are in college or maybe just out of college that don't have any sort of philosophy background, they feel this call to the priesthood, and then they have to do what's called pre-theology, and they have to kind of get those philosophy prerequisites taken care of. And that usually is 2 years, and then an additional 4 years for theology. So I'd say the average is somewhere around 6 years. It can be as much as 8 years. At the very minimum, it would be 4 years. But even if somebody had a degree in philosophy that was, you know, based on our Catholic tradition and came into theology, you know, even then 4 years is a pretty short period of time. And sometimes we may ask them to do another year, a fifth year for some more spiritual formation, some more discernment and preparation. Because it's not just about the classes that we take in the seminary, but it's also formation in various pillars, whether it's our spiritual formation, our relationship with God, pastoral formation in which we learn how to serve the people of God in various circumstances, and then also our academic formation, and then our human formation, that formation in which we as men have to be those bridges between God and the people that we serve. We have to be men of character, men of respectfulness, that people can approach us and feel as though they can have that connection with the Lord, as opposed to if, you know, it was a guy that was, you know, really sloppy or you know, kind of
sure.
hard to get along with, maybe doesn't look at people whenever they talk
right.
to him. I mean, that's kind of a block. And so that's an important part of formation as well that we work on so that they can be the very best instrument so as to invite people to that relationship with the Lord.
Father, you alluded earlier that you work with far more candidates for the priesthood than religious life. Is there a reason that you think that so many young ladies in the church don't want to go into religious life, or you don't have the same kind of numbers coming forward?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things is I think oftentimes with young women, whenever they see, if they're attracted to a religious life, they oftentimes will go directly to a religious order. So they'll do a lot of research on the internet and kind of do that and don't necessarily go through the office for vocations. But I think also for young women, in some ways, it's even more countercultural for young women to choose a life of service to the church as a religious. You know, for men as priests, I mean, it's certainly countercultural, but for women in a special way, you know, so much attention, I think, sometimes, and rightfully or wrongfully, is given that, you know, women have a kind of attachment to how they look and dress and all of these different things that are so influenced by society. I mean, so many of these magazines that are out on the shelves target women and try to put forth an image of
right.
what they're expected. And if they don't live up to that image, then they're seen by some as a failure or somehow not living up to that. And so I think in many ways, a women have a much more difficult obstacle to overcome in identifying themselves in that total giving of their self changes, is totally countercultural to what the world tries to say.
Absolutely.
So I think I think that's kind of what's at the heart of it.
Well, good. That's what I thought. Yep. So I'm glad to hear that.
Well, Mark, let's take a break right here for a second and hear from the Catholics Come Home, and in particular, the website encouragepriests.org.
Okay.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
We're back here on The Cradle and the Convert. We're with Father Brian Alford from the Office of Vocations in the Diocese of Springfield. And Mark, during the break, you were asking an interesting question. Why don't you resume that, please?
Well, that, of course, depends on me being able to remember what I just said a few seconds ago. But I think, Father, what I was asking was the increase that we see in vocations now. We were talking about countercultural issues with different aspects, and I had said, you know, with Generation Y, they've always been characterized as possessions and a big house and a big job and quick advancement and so forth. And I just wonder, with the world in the state it's in, with the violence of terrorism, with the mass shootings we see here, the various horrors that we watch each night when the news comes on, if some of our youth today are sitting there thinking, what is left after this life? You know, what is going to happen to us? And if that maybe is motivating some to go to the priesthood or religious life.
Yeah, one thing that I've been very impressed with young people in my work with them while I was in the seminary and now as a priest, is they do ask the tough questions. I think sometimes we don't give them enough credit that they're maybe not thinking about, not concerned about these things. But it's impressive to see how much they do think and how much they are searching for an answer. And they're seeing that all of these things, as I said earlier, that the world proposes as answers or solutions just don't satisfy. You know, our young people are they're not stupid. I mean, they can see a lie whenever it's placed before them. It might take them a while to get beyond some of the flashy exterior, but whenever they dig down to the deeper surface, below the surface, they find that there's something missing. And in that search for truth, they ask those questions, and oftentimes they're asking them knowing that maybe there's something here with regards to my faith. Maybe my Catholic faith can help me to find some answers. And certainly we can't always get the full answer, you know, to why some of these terrible things happen in our world. But at the same time, our faith does give us a way of approaching them, looking beyond, you know, just what is visible, and seeing that there is God's action even in the most mysterious and hidden ways. And I think that gives them a sense of hope, and that gives them a sense of encouragement to keep moving forward and to trust, you know, to trust that God does have an answer, God does have a plan, that God is not absent from us, just sitting up in heaven, just kind of watching it all unfold.
That's an interesting thing, because it makes me, I hate to even say this, especially on the air, but it validates what my brother Cradle here says occasionally when he quotes St. Augustine. And what's he say about the heart?
My heart is restless until it rests in you.
He says that so often, and you just touched on that, Father, with this generation perhaps trying so many things and not finding that happiness, thinking they were going to be happy and they weren't. And that's not just this generation. It's happened all along. My generation as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I look back at my mom and dad's generation. They're graduates of St. Teresa High School. I think they had six priests in their high school class.
I think your mom and dad have said that before.
And several of them are still, you know, around.
Right.
Father Phil Kraft and Father Cunningham.
Yep.
Father Collins over in Japan. You know, there's just a lot of them still around, and that's a beautiful thing. Do we have any local Decatur guys in the seminary at this point, Father? Do you know?
Yes, we do. Bryson Doyle, who is a parishioner at St. Thomas, is at Bishop Simon Brute College Seminary in Indianapolis. And recently, one of our newly ordained priests is from just outside of Decatur in Mount Zion, Father
Marty
Smith.
Yeah, Father Marty.
He lives with us at the cathedral.
He's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Yeah,
now.
Me too. Me too. You see his Halloween getup? That was pretty good. He posted a picture on there. It was hilarious.
Yeah, he actually got the priest of the cathedral to kind of dress up in that as well. So you may have not recognized him, but Abe Lincoln was yours truly. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I knew there was something familiar about your face other than the Catholic Times.
Right.
So.
Well, Father, are there age limits on getting into the seminary or the diaconate?
Well, I can't really speak much for the diaconate. Father Chris House, who is my predecessor in this position, is the director of the diaconate. But as far as the priesthood, we don't have a hard and fast rule. In fact, you can see that if you look at the poster of our mm-hmm. seminarians. We have a gentleman who is a deacon. He's a classmate of Deacon Braden, Deacon Paul Bonk, who is a widower, and he's in his 60s. So, you know, by the time he's ordained, God willing, next May, then he'll be, I forget his exact age, 63, 64. And we also have a gentleman who just entered the seminary, and he's 58 years old, Dave Beagles from the cathedral. So, you know, it's there's not a hard and fast rule. Some dioceses do. But Bishop Apraki is pretty open to entertaining the possibility. You know, we consider, you know, their health, you know, kind of what their educational background is. And, you know, we try to discern. And it's a little more of a careful discernment, obviously, for somebody that's a little bit older. You know, we hate to use kind of the terms of business. You know, are we going to get a return on our investment?
Sure.
But I think also—
I was wondering that.
But to put it really more in terms of another term that's been used a lot in our diocese recently, and that's stewardship. Is this the best use of the gifts that the faithful of the diocese are so generous in supporting our seminarians? Is that the best use of those gifts in preparing these men? And you know, I think we're very willing to consider that possibility, and we have had conversations with several men. And in fact, we ordained a gentleman, Father Al Allen, in 2012, and he was 62 or so whenever he was ordained, and is doing great. So we kind of have to take it on a case-by-case basis, and so we're open to the possibility, but we have to do, obviously, some careful discernment in every case.
Sure. Wow, that's... I've always heard the announcements, I think, or maybe there's little articles in the Bulletin or perhaps in Catholic Times even that say if you're a young man, you know, between the ages of 18 or 19 through 35 or 36. So I always thought, well, yeah, I must be worthless at this point. I'm twice that old, so I'm not sure, you know, what that means. And I wondered why we weren't taking priests, anyone who came forward with a shortage. So that's great to hear. I mean, especially the numbers of guys close to my age.
All right. Well, I've learned a lot about this, and I'm really thrilled to hear that we have this many seminarians. And these seminarians, when they are ordained, the ones that make it through, they will be assigned here in our diocese. Is that right, Father?
Correct.
That is awesome.
It is.
Well, I'm really thrilled to hear all that. And Father,
how do we get a hold of Father?
Well, yeah, that's a good idea, Father. I know on the website, dio.org.
Yeah, on dio.org, and you go to the offices and then the Office for Vocations. My contact information is on there, and you know, there's a spot where you can fill out a request through the website. I think my email address is on the website itself. So please feel free to contact me, whether it's somebody that's discerning or whether you have questions on how to maybe assist somebody in their discernment or anything that you might need some assistance with.
Okay, super. Father. For those of you that just tuned in and caught the end of this, we're talking to Father Brian Alford, who is the Director of Vocations for the Springfield Diocese in Illinois.
And Father, we're going to ask you to stand by and close us with a blessing. But I want to bring up, Mark, that Sundays brings up the second week in Advent and the beginning of the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
Yes.
And it's also the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on Tuesday, December 8th.
Indeed.
So that's the day of our next show. And we're hoping to have a wonderful surprise for the listeners.
Yes.
Depending on a couple technical glitches that we're working on, our plan is to have a guest on the show next week from St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, where Pope Francis will unlock the holy doors to begin the year of mercy. And the doors were last opened in 2000, Mark, so it's a pretty big deal. We're going to try real hard to work out the hitches, so stay tuned, and hopefully we'll have somebody firsthand right there at the opening of the doors. Father, could we get your blessing to close the show this evening?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
All right, Mark, that's about it for tonight. I think this was an interesting show.
It was. I'm ready to think about it, but I've got this wife thing going on.
Well, I don't know. You can be a deacon. You know, you can go be a deacon.
I don't know. It sounds like, a deputy chief and a chief.
There you go.
The deputy chief gets all the work.
We hope you'll join us next week when we hopefully have a Rome correspondent joining us to talk about the Year of Mercy. That's it here from The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew.
Good night,
y'all.
Everybody.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.